All right, Jim, I'll turn it over to you to get started then.
Yes, thank you. Could I ask all board members to please identify themselves so that we can take attendance?
Antoinette, please.
Okay, I think we kind of, maybe one at a time. Was that Kira first?
Yes.
Okay. And who was after that?
Antoinette Capri.
Thank you, Antoinette.
Thank you.
Hey, I'm Rashima Dixon.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so those are the four that we have. Okay, first thing, I did not see any minutes for the last meeting, so I'm not sure we can approve those minutes at this point. Or was something sent out and I missed it?
Yes, there was minutes, the agenda, everything was sent out last week.
Okay, then I missed it. For those who have read the minutes, you know, maybe what I'll do is for the minutes, I will ask for a vote on an email. So I'll send an email out to make sure that we have the minutes approved. Separately. Anyone for public comment at this time? Okay, we have no public comment. I do want to make a short announcement. I was at the graduation ceremony on Friday last week, and I thought that the school did a fantastic job in launching, completing, and celebrating our first graduating class. I thought it was very, very well done. I was very proud and happy to be there. I think everybody was well represented. There was a great job that I feel everybody did to pull the event together and Erica and Kira did a terrific job with everything that was going on at the time. And also your message that was recorded, Leland, was very well received, and a lot of people were very happy to see you participate, even though you were not able to be there in person. So I just want to give my kudos to the whole staff that was involved in pulling this thing off and making it so successful.
Thank you, Joe. Definitely want to echo what you said in regards to our staff pulling it together. It has been a giant effort by Erica, as you mentioned, Kara, as well as I'll definitely would like to highlight, you know, several members of our staff who have been chiming in. I also want to say, Rashima, you and our board members have been at a lot of the events that we've had over the last month, and it does make a difference as far as everyone coming together. And our kids were so encouraged. Our students were so encouraged, and they have been doing a wonderful, finishing out very strong. And I also want to highlight our middle school as well. And we have Ms. Faber and Ms. Chalmers on a call, and they've been doing our middle school events, end of the year stuff too. So it's been wonderful for everyone to come on board. So. And I know Jim may be having some technical difficulties. So, Jim, if you don't mind, I'm going to hand it over to Michelle because I know she may have to leave shortly.
Can you guys hear me okay?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Michelle. Please go ahead.
All righty. I can share my screen if that'll make life easy for everybody. All right, so we're going to take a look at the financial reports through the end of April. This does represent 83% of the budget period that has elapsed. As of April 30th, 91% of revenue is in. Really, the remaining revenue to receive for the rest of the year is just spend down of the federal awards, and then that lump sum payment that typically comes at the end of the year from the foundation. Leland did mention that he did speak to the foundation, I believe, this week or last week, And those funds should be coming very shortly. So what we're showing is that 6.2 of the $6.9 million revenue budget has been realized as of April 30th. On the expense side, we're showing that facilities and maintenance is running at about 79%, so just slightly under budget. Utilities is over budget. That's a permanent variance. The dollar amount is $3,200. It's a small immaterial amount it's not worth amending the budget over, but just wanted to make a note that that is a permanent difference. And so facilities and maintenance, Great Oaks has spent $933,000 of the $1.1 million budget as of April 30th. Instructional support is running at about 78%. There are some permanent variances there. We've got computer supplies that were expended. That is over budget in that line item. And instructional supplies is also over by about $3,800. But we are under budget in some other areas. So overall, the organization has spent 4.6 of its $6 million budget, which does represent 78% of budgeted expenses. And then finally, transportation is running at about 69%. So we did budget $746,000. Looks like we may potentially see some cost savings here. The transportation that has been expended thus far is $511,000. So we may not come in as a lot of the busing for the after, for extracurricular activities looks like what is trailing lower than anticipated. So we may see a savings there. So overall, the organization has expended 77% of its total expense budget, $6.1 million of its $7.9 million expense budget. So as of April 30th, the organization is running at a surplus of $139,000. We're expecting to see our deficit start to creep in during the month of April, but we've been doing a lot of recodes with the federal grants and reconciling the federal grants just to make sure we're utilizing all those expenses. So there was a lot of recodes that were done during the month of April that kind of offset, has boosted income under the federal grant side. So we're still showing a surplus. However, I do anticipate during the month of May is when we'll start to see a deficit. We're still on track. The deficit may come in a slightly lower than anticipated. Right now, we budgeted a deficit of just a little over $1 million. We're expecting that, maybe slightly lower. As of April 30th, the organization is sitting on a fund balance of $1.5 million. Any questions at all about anything you saw in the report?
Because it's a little small and I cannot see it, I'm sorry, Michelle.
For you.
We were trying to project what available surplus we will have for next year because we were using a significant part of our surplus this year. So what does that surplus estimate at this point to be for next year?
Right now, the estimate is about $338,000 is what we're estimating, between $338,000 and no more than $400,000, but we're thinking it's going to be closer to this $338,000 number we anticipate we'll be carrying into next year.
Okay. And have all the funds been collected from the foundation at this point?
Not yet. That's the funds that are coming in. Leland spoke to the foundation. They do anticipate it'll be in before the end of this month, but that should be coming this month. And it was it $100,000 or $114,000, Leland, that's coming in?
I believe it's the same amount it was last year. I believe it's the $114,000.
Okay. So that'll be a lump sum catch up that we'll see in the line item that we have that budgeted in. Leland did mention that we anticipate, and I guess it typically comes in during the month of June, that those funds should be coming in before the end of this month.
Yep, and I did request for it to come as earlier next year, around March, is what when we would be looking for next year.
Sounds good.
This is Kira. I have a question. As far as the operating expenses, you said the utilities, I believe. Was any particular utility that was higher than the others?
No, this is really related to you're paying the utilities on the apartments that you're paying for the AmeriCorps tutors. So you pay their rent as well as you pay their utilities. Without taking the time to do an analysis to say maybe one unit was greater than the other, I wouldn't know that off my head without doing a little bit of analytical.
It's unit 814. I can tell you which one it is.
Okay. I'd have to look to see which unit is generating it. But right now, the amount that was budgeted was just, it was budgeted too low for the amount that's actually being incurred.
Okay, and the other question I had was, as far as the computer expenses, so we did like a, not a buyback program, but we had some computers we were able to give back and refurbish. I haven't gotten any report as if any cost savings were benefited from that, but if they are, would that be something that you need to put in the budget as well?
So when you say a buyback program, give me a little bit more information so I understand what you're referring to.
So we had a number of computers that were like old. So they were able, we were able to like, I don't want to say sell, but we returned them for them to be refurbished. And we were supposed to get like a credit for them. And I know it happened in, I think, March, but I haven't heard anything from the person. So I'm going to try to figure out what happened with that.
Do you have an idea of roughly how much you're expecting to receive as a result of that?
No, I don't. I don't. And I know we have a high number of, you know, computers. And right now we're in the process of doing an inventory on everything that we have. Mm-hmm. And then we will also be able to get a better handle on what we actually have value-wise. But I know we did a buy, like a buyback earlier in March.
Well, if it, if you anticipate you're going to receive what you're supposed to receive before year end, then it's just going to boost the revenue side. And depending on what that dollar amount is, I think at this point, it's probably going to be immaterial. So it's not, okay. I don't know that it's worth amending the budget. However, if it looks like that's not going to be realized until next year, then that might be something that we would want to include in the budget.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Perfect. All right. With no questions about the financial reports, I would like to go over the preliminary budget for next school year. Any last questions about the financial report? And I know you guys have to vote on approving the web report for posting.
Yes. We'll do that at the end of the conclusion of your presentation.
Okay. All right. So let me go ahead and share the FY23 budget, the preliminary budget that Leland and I have worked through. Okay, once I find it, there it is. Okay. All right. So at a very high level, the budget went out to you where you can see a little bit more detail line by line if you had any questions about those. But going through at high level, what we're showing is, as we've talked about this year, we knew that we couldn't operate at the same level as this year because it was reserves that were utilized in order to support operations for this year. We knew there had to be some changes that had to be done for FY23. And I'll just make a note that I'm seeing my heading right there under that second column that says FY22 proposed amendment 255 enrollment. I forgot to update that title, and that title should be reading FY23 preliminary budget. The budget is based on an enrollment of 255 students. The current budget that we've been looking at throughout the year is based on an enrollment of 285 students. So as of May 1st, your enrollment count was 255, so we are conservatively going with that number. Leland does believe that you can come in higher, but we would rather start here as our starting point because this is where your enrollment was confirmed as of May 1st, and then add on as we go on to do the amendment after the September 30th count and as we get closer to the beginning of the next school year so we have a better sense of where you're landing. So we want to be cautious. We want to be conservative. So what we're showing is that there's about a 30 student loss from in comparison to last year. The impact that that has on your revenue is really going to be those charges to school district and your state funding. You can see that's almost a $300,000 reduction as a result of losing about 30 students. And then your federal funding, there is about $1.5 million that's going to carry over in ESSER funds into next year. And I have about $1 million of that accounted for in that federal funding. I just wanted us to flesh out some of the remaining amendments that we may need to do on those grants, which we have time to do and we have time to expend out, because most of that funding is not expiring. Some of it is next year, some of it is the following year. So we've got some time as far as that's concerned. So I wanted to wait till we flesh that out before I included those expenses as well as revenue in the budget. So what I have in here is the known items that I know will be expended and the federal reimbursements will be received. So right now it's about just shy of a $200,000 reduction in the federal revenue. Federal expenses and revenue will always equal each other, so the net impact of the bottom line is going to be zero, but we want to make sure we're reflecting those revenue and expenses nonetheless related to those federal grants. So what we're seeing is, based on the budget we've currently been operating against, you're looking at about a $486,000 reduction in revenue that we're anticipating for next year. As we take a look at expenses, though, you're going to see there's a much larger reduction in expense than there is on the revenue side. So we have about a $1.5 million decrease in expenses that are incurring next year. Some of the areas that we were able to cut, facilities and maintenance, that was going to be a natural cut. There was the DCAD settlement that was a one-time expense that was incurred this year that will not reoccur next year. And the last conversation that Leland had and Dave and Blowman had mentioned is that for now, the rent would remain flat until we kind of get through some of the hurdles that you have to get through. So right now it makes the assumption that the CEB rent will remain flat. It also makes the assumption that you're still paying, because I think you're obligated to do so at least through next year, the rent of the AmeriCorps tutors and the as well as the utilities related to those. So really the big cut here was just not having that large DCAT settlement that you got hit with during FY22. Food services and material, that's just a reduction of $500. That hasn't really been incurred this year. We went ahead and cut that. But you can see the majority of the cuts are coming under instructional support. A good portion of that, that's $1.4 million that we had to cut out of instructional support, which is your largest expense area that you have. About $700,000 of that, about half of that is changing to the staffing configuration. Some positions that have left that are not going to be refilled is a good portion of that. And so, and then the other half of that is going to be contractual student support services that we've cut in order to make this budget work and make it viable. And then transportation, it looks like we're probably going to be able to cut some transportation, but until we know how much of an increase we're going to see from the fuel charges from the transportation company, it may all come out in the wash and you'll be about the same. We'll have a better sense if that number can come down, but that number has remained flat. So what we're showing is overall, we were able to shave off about $1.5 million in expenses. It's a slim budget. It's showing that you're going to operate at a slim surplus of about $47,000. We are anticipating you'll carry about $338,000 into next year, which is going to leave you with an ending fund balance of $386,000. That does meet the 2% contingency that the state does require that you have. So it is a viable budget. It is tough, but it is viable and it can be done. But because you have such a slim margin, it will require that management really manage to this budget and really stay within the budget in order to make this work, which I believe can be done. So this is what we were able to craft up. And again, when we get closer to September 30th and we know what your student enrollment comes in, hopefully it goes up and not down, then we'll modify the budget again once we see where you're landing as we get to the September 30th count. Any questions about the budget or any particular line item you saw that you had a question about?
Michelle, just a couple of quick items from me. The projected $338,000 to $400,000 excess for next year is incorporating the ESSER funds, or is not incorporating the ESSER funds?
It is not incorporating the ESSER funds. I'm anticipating that you're going to carry over a little over a million, somewhere between a million and 1.4 in ESSER funds. And so I've accounted for that right now, about close to a million of it I've accounted for in this budget, which there's going to be $1 million worth of revenue, but then there's going to be an offsetting $1 million in expenses. So no matter what happens with your ESSER funds, the bottom line of 47,000 remains the same, even when I add that in, because the revenue will offset the expenses. You'll just see an increase on the expense side, an offsetting increase on the revenue side.
I see. Okay. So we could not use those ESSER funds for anything that is currently planned on the budget.
Correct. Correct. So we would have to determine what we're going to utilize that for, add those expenses in, and then we would add the revenue, which just nets out to zero at the end of the day, which is typically the case for your federal funds. So what you're really seeing, the surplus, is really the surplus that is generated off of your state and local funds, because your federal funds are always going to be a wash at the end of the day. So your surplus will always, or your deficit will always, be a result of any expenses that may not be able to be covered under federal grants that you have to pay out of state and local funds, and those expenses either being less than or greater than those state and local funds that you've generated.
Okay. Okay.
So Michelle, just a follow-up question to Jim's question. Is there a certain amount of ESSER dollars that's still available that we still will be able to draw down from for next year? Is there an amount that we could have for the record as far as what's left over from the 1.3 mm-hmm. that we originally had?
Right now, as of last week, you were sitting on unexpended about 1.5 million in ESSER funds. So by the end of this month, we'll probably spend down maybe a couple $100,000 more of that. So I'm anticipating you're going to be carrying over, you know, somewhere in between a million to about 1.3, 1.4 in ESSER dollars that are going to be available for you to expend. And in this budget, I've accounted for about 990,000 of ESSER funds that I've accounted for. So you have, you know, probably $400,000 to $500,000 more in ESSER funds that are not in this budget yet. So we may see some increases on the expense side, but we're going to turn around and see an offsetting increase on the revenue side. So it won't increase your net surplus, but it will allow for some additional expenditures being covered under the federal grant. For example, maybe additional positions or some other expenses that you'll be able to support with the ESSER funds. So when I account for that, you're just going to see an increase in both the expense on the revenue side, but your net income number is not going to change because it's just a wash.
Understood. Thanks.
Any other questions?
Yeah, any other questions for Michelle?
The only other thing I would say is too, Michelle, on the second and third page, it has Charter School of Wilmington at the top.
Okay, let me fix that. That's not correct. I'll fix it.
And so I know that a lot of, because as I was going through, there's a lot of budget cuts throughout the document.
Yes.
So I think in retrospect, we'll still need to be doing and focusing on fundraising supports for next year, correct?
Yeah, it's going to come down to two things. It's going to come down to some fundraising support, but your biggest push is really going to be your enrollment. Right. You know, really getting your enrollment to the number that it needs to be at. Because that's the majority of your funding is driven by your enrollment. So that's your main driver. And then funding supports are, they really are just, fundraising is really just to help with supplemental programming. Is that where that support comes in? Or like maybe if you want to fund staff at a level that your state and local dollars just do not come in that large to be able to support it. So basically for your operations, if there's something that just state and local funds will not support, then you can use fundraising to be able to structure operations in such a way that it meets your agenda, but gets you the support that you need financially. But the challenge with that is if the funds don't come in, then that means you got to make changes when they don't come in. So fundraising is usually great for just supplemental type of programming. But it's really hard when you start to use it for your core operations, because it really makes you vulnerable if that funding doesn't come in at the same level year over year.
Right. I was thinking about that partly because I know we already have to do fundraising, for example, for some of our smaller events. So even as for like for the students in general, that I know Kira works on with a lot with Erica and some of the others. So just wondering, like, you know, I saw that that was, some of that was cut too. So just thinking about like some of the activities for students wise and, you know, how much we may have to raise additional on that side since there are additional cuts to those areas. So.
Yeah, the one area I did student body activity, that one, that expense we did not cut because I understand the importance of your student body activity, especially when you're dealing at a high school level. So you may have to really determine what's important, what's not important, but we kept student body activities at about 89,000 in the budget. So you have some funding in there. We didn't cut it completely, or we didn't even cut it at all, honestly. But that's something you may have to be selective as to what activities you're gonna have in order to utilize that budget the best you possibly can.
You know what? You're correct. I think I was looking at the athlete supplies.
That I did cut.
Yeah.
The athlete supplies I did cut. And hopefully, because I know there was a big push for athletic supplies this past year. So the hope is that you got everything that you needed this year, that you don't need to incur any purchases next year. But if so, then we may have to look at cutting back some of student body activity to make up what you may need in athletic supplies.
Gotcha. Okay. Thank you, Michelle.
You're welcome. All right, if no other questions, then it's just a matter of the board approving the preliminary FY23 budget.
Thank you very much, Michelle. I would like to move to approve the web report, and I would like to ask for a vote. All those approving, please say aye.
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 All those opposed? Okay, thank you very much. So we have the web report unanimously approved. Thank you, Michelle.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Michelle.
You're welcome.
I'm sorry, I don't know where we were. This is Kira. I just wanted to add something regarding student activities for next school year. We're trying to put some things in place ahead of time to help us better get a handle on a budget regarding like field trips or things like that, that things will have to be submitted prior to, that will be a process. Unlike this year, you know, a lot of things fell through the crack. They were like last minute. So hopefully by implementing a process, an approval process, we'll be able to better handle the expenses going forward.
And thank you, Kara. I agree. And I would also add, Michelle, before you jump off, I wanted to say that part of my presentation tonight is going to talk about introducing building trades at Great Oaks. And I think that will be a game changer in regards to recruitment and increasing our numbers. Being able to offer students at Great Oaks the opportunity to learn building trades as well as the soft skills and entering the workforce. Many of our students don't want to go to college and want to be positive, contributing members of our community. So this will be a game changer in regards to a number of students leaving Great Oaks to go to vocational schools, but yet remaining because they have the opportunity to learn those skills right here at Great Oaks. So that's going to be part of my presentation, but I wanted you to hear that because I think that's going to be a big difference as far as recruitment and helping our numbers to go back up.
Awesome. That sounds really good. Is the board planning to this evening, or are you waiting to get more of your members before you approve the preliminary FY23 budget that was just presented?
I think we should pass it now, and I will, after we send it out, Leila and I would ask to see if anybody is opposed to it, so let's pass it now. I move to pass preliminary 23 budget. And could I get a second, please?
I second. This is Kira.
Thank you, Kira. All those opposed, please say aye.
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 Thank you. Any opposed? Okay, so we have the fiscal year 23 report unanimously approved.
I'm glad we did that as well, because July is usually when we take a month to give a reprieve as far as board members, and we would be probably coming back in August. But Natalia and I will definitely get this out to all board members, as Jim, as you suggested, so that you guys can review. And if there's any opposition, we will make sure that it's known for everybody.
Thank you very much.
And I'll update the headings and send it back out to you, so you make sure you send the report out with the right headings.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
Good night, Michelle.
Good night. Thank you, Michelle.
Thank you, Michelle.
All right, Leland, so now it is up to you.
All right. Well, thank you, Jim. As always, just want to start off. We only have Ms. Faber on the call, but I wanted to say shout out to our fellows who have spent at least 1 or 2 years with us. Ajane White, Allison Moore, Amina Muhammad, Ashley Brown, Brenda Amaya, Iris Perez, Madeline Ranga, Markeisha Harris, Morgan Faber, and Sienna Henry. And also would like to thank Morgan Sagan as well as Ms. Broadnax for their support of our fellows, but wanted to take the time out to thank them for their years of service in supporting our student body, as well as supporting our staff and being great members of our community, leaving their homes, graduating from college to come and support our students for 1 year or 2 years. It's a big, big jump. And I know every year when we talk about budget and we talk about how we are paying for apartments or the utilities, I definitely want to highlight the sacrifice that these committed individuals come to provide a support and a service to our student body. And it's amazing. And I want to say thank you, Ms. Faber. If you are still on the call, I'm not able to say, but I wanted to say thank you to you and your peers for your service.
Thank you.
And for recognizing them, because the tutoring team is certainly making a difference.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. And I also just want to say, when we had the graduation, I wasn't able to be there, but the number of former fellows, or they were called tutors at the time, who played a role in many of our students' lives, you could see the difference and the connection and relationships that were built. And I'm sure that you're going to have those same type of relationships over the next couple of years, Ms. Ronger, as your students begin to graduate and continue to grow. All right, so definitely wanted to take a moment to say this is a first, a lot of firsts this year, and having our first senior prom. We mentioned earlier, Mrs. Broadnax, as well as Mrs. Hitchens and Dean Henderson and several members of our team were part of the coordination and all the behind the scenes of making fundraising and all the things that went along with it. I want to say first class, everything you guys did in regards to making this first year, a good year as far as a send off for our seniors. And it's only going to get better. We had our senior prom at the Hyatt down at the waterfront. It was amazing. Rashima was there. The students were, having a ball, dancing, and food was phenomenal. And our students showed up and showed out. Ms. Chalmers and our sister, who's on the call, had a blast reminiscing and supporting the students. Also wanted to say, as far as the inaugural graduation, I heard it was phenomenal. I was so disappointed that I wasn't able to make it, but I heard that the facilities as well as the whole agenda and process, and was so grateful to see the pictures that were sent to me of our seniors just graduating and just feeling so accomplished. And I was glad to be able to send a video, but definitely want the world to know that I am so proud of our team. I'm so proud of our students. And I want to thank the board, especially those of you who have been here for so many years, as far as this is an accumulation of just a lot of hard work and sacrifice of so many people who are on this call, but also who are still in education, but have moved on to other places. A lot of people showed up for the graduation, and you can't see tears on me right now, but I can definitely just feel the goosebumps just thinking about all of the work, all the sacrifices been put in to make sure that Great Oaks arrived at this point. And we hope to have many more. And I'd like to thank you, board members who are on this call, and thank you for your support. And some of you have joined our team, Ms. Broadnax, as well as Ms. Capri, looking forward to David graduating and just being a part and continuing and building a legacy. Does anyone who attended the graduation or prom that's on the call want to say a few words? I just want to take a pause because I think it's so relevant that we don't just gloss over these type of things, because it was monumental, and because I wasn't there, I would love to hear about it.
This is Kira. I'm going to say something. You know I was. So I was talking to Ms. Joshua earlier, and I was telling her, I think the one thing I took away from the graduation is that they were so proud of themselves. They finally saw it. The things that we pushed them all year, on them all year about the schoolwork, they finally saw it and realized it at the graduation. When they were walking in, it was like almost a standing ovation. Mm. You know, it was just cheers, you know, on top of cheers. When Maddie went to the podium, before she even started her speech, it was cheers. And it was like the graduates were cheering, the parents were cheering, and they were proud of themselves. And I saw it. You could feel it. It was just all smiles. You know, everyone rose to the occasion. It's hard to talk about it and not cry. I told Miss Joshua I cried through most of it. That's why I don't have a lot of pictures. Because I was crying through most of it. But it's hard to describe. I mean, Jim was there. You could feel it in the room. And, you know, Rashima was there. You could feel it in the room. They felt it. You know, that they worked hard, they dug deep, and they earned it.
I agree with you. I'm going to also let Rashima, because she participated in both the graduation event and she was also at the prom. It was the amount of applause that you heard from the audience for the things that the salutatorian mentioned, the valedictorian mentioned, the things that Erica talked about, and she thanked a lot of the people that were responsible for getting us to this point. It was very moving. And the number of people that came that were no longer even associated with the school anymore, but they had the memories and they had the connections with the families and the students. I thought that was very, very, on my part, I thought it was exceptional that they actually stopped whatever they were doing that day and they came to see these students graduating.
Awesome.
No, I agree. I think going to the first prom as well as the first graduation has a, you know, puts an imprint on you in regards to, you know, the first of first, right? And even I would say for prom, even prom was, I think they were being conservative enough because there was a lot of adults there that knew them. But, you know, they're a great group of kids. I think I was a little sad to not see some of the kids that I had in my class at my time at Great Oaks. that did not graduate. So that was a little bit of a shock for me to some degree, for some of them, but I'm not, but Kieran was talking to me and Jim just about in regards to, you know, some students are going to come throughout the summer, finish up. But I was like, there's kids missing. So, and it was just, you know, but I think all in all, I think the, as was already alluded to, I think the students between your speech, Leland, as well as Samantha's, I think was very well received in regards to just having to at least see that you were there in some capacity, because I think that's what folks were looking forward to. It's like, where's Leland? You know, all those capacities too. So, and so I think it went really well for in regards to how everything was put together. I think everyone did a fantastic job of putting it together. I know there were a couple hiccups in there, but I think overall everything turned out well. The students really enjoyed it. They loved it, took pictures and all types of things all over the building. Probably would have liked it to be a little more cooler up in there, but otherwise it was good. I thought definitely job well done on both fronts for the prom as well as the graduation.
Rasheem, I heard that you did a great job as well. So thank you for coming and participating and being a part, like, and just letting your presence be felt. And then, as you said, your kids, right? You were actually a former teacher. You know, you have been given over the years as well. So thank you. And we are supporting those students who were not able to walk. And we are looking to have an opportunity for them to have an opportunity in August to be able to have their day where their parents can take a picture of them as well, have some type of ceremony to support them as well. Anyone else as we wrap that up? But thank you, because I was not there. And for the record, Ms. Lopez and myself were on quarantine, so we were not able to be there. We wanted to be there. So I was happy I was given the opportunity to send a video of a few words that I wanted to say to the graduating class. With that, I'm going to just say first class at the facilities chosen, the Hyatt, as well as Chase Fieldhouse. I know that it was just a grand setting in regards to first class for Great Oaks first year having those events. Back at school, we did complete DESA states testing, as well as MAP testing to see where our students are. We will be reviewing that data and then looking at moving into next year as far as to be able to support our students moving forward. Over the next couple of days, middle school is finishing out, as well as our underclassmen. Middle school dance happened in May. There's a field trip tomorrow that Ms. Chalmers is facilitating or leading. And then there's also a moving up day ceremony that's happening at the school, I believe, on Wednesday. Is that correct, Ms. Chalmers?
Yes.
All right, awesome. So those are a couple things that are still going on. Also, on May 21st, we had an end of the year event for our English learners and mentor support with Aspera and the state as the state organization. EL parents and students participated. They attended the event at main event, and Great Oaks had 8 students who participated in the mentoring program with the Latino community leaders. And that brings us to our graduation pictures. This is a still picture of the event that happened last Friday. Thank you to all the team members who supported all of our senior events, but specifically, if Erica was on the call today, was going to definitely give her the opportunity to share a few words. Building Trades in High School, we would like to partner with the Department of Ed, who definitely said that they would like to see us introduce it at Great Oaks, and they're very supportive. The Delaware Building Trades, along with Philadelphia as well, are interested in working with small learning communities like Great Oaks in beginning this as fast as next year. We are interested in partnering with some of our board members, including Rashima Dixon, to work with our students to build their soft skills, to get them prepared to go into the workforce. As well as the business, other business partners to invest in our students to provide them with the opportunity to learn technical and soft skills necessary in obtaining the building trade certifications and apprenticeships opportunities while at Great Oaks and after they graduate Great Oaks. This is going to be a great opportunity for us to begin to have the trademark, I will say, what we're going to be known for, not just college preparedness, but also students are gaining skills that they can go home and help in their own homes as far as to support their households, earn decent wages and living, as well as to find a career and build a career. And those who want to go to college, this doesn't stop you from going to college, right? In fact, they would know specifically what they would want to major in and what classes they would want to take. So it's a win-win, and we believe that this is going to be a game changer in regards to Great Oaks introducing building trades. Also would like to, Angela is not on the call, but Angela Harvey Bowens, her nonprofit, Fourth Dimensional, it leads Delaware Leaders. They're having a trip to London, which will happen from June 16th to June 24th. And Sam and I have been invited to attend this trip where we're going to go. Great Britain has introduced an initiative that they have started last year where they are introducing building trades to every public school in London. So we are going to visit five diverse schools serving different communities within London between June 16th and the 24th, with the goal in mind to bring back best practices and some structures to begin to engage the Delaware building trades and to implement this into our school, if not next year, definitely for the following year. So more information to follow that we'll be bringing back to the board for approval. Any questions on that before I move to the next slide?
No, thank you.
All right. And this next one I'm really excited about. We have been asked to participate in one of three schools, a parent camp. The other school that has already participated and benefited is Kaumba, went through a parent camp training with the Department of Education, Delaware Department of Education, a year ago, and it has really increased their family engagement tremendously by giving a family and students voice. And that is the whole idea behind a parent camp. And we have been one of three schools. The other schools are Odyssey, as well as Sussex Montessori, are one in Great Oaks Charter School. Wilmington has been chosen one of three schools that the DOE, Delaware Department of Education, is sponsoring for us to have a contract to come in and work with us. We already have seven parent camps. A schedule, our first one will be at the end of this month, June 29th. And there are seven scheduled for the year. And this will be Parent University on steroids, if you will, where we will have several events where we'll have topics where we'll engage our family, get their families and community members to get their voice and input on everything that we're doing at the school. And so it will increase engagement, increase our participation between our students and family, and a better understanding with our school administration, staff, as well as our community partners to be all on board with what's happening with our families. So this was our first training that we went to Dover. The lady all the way to the left, Ms. Laura Gilchrist, is leading this effort. She's from Nashville, Tennessee. And this is a national organization that is supporting family engagement across the country. But Delaware is a leading state in improving family engagement. We have members of the CEB. We have Ms. Natalia on in the middle. We have, I'm drawing a blank. Natalia, help me out. All right, I can't.
Ms. Curtis.
Ms. Curtis. All right, and Ms. Spencer. And then you see the big guy to the right. All right. And last, this is our first flyer for our parent camp that's coming up June 29th. It will include dinner and childcare. The topics that we will be discussing is identifying resources and end the stigma when it comes to self-care and coping skills. This is going to be really huge coming out of the pandemic. The second room that we're going to have is navigating the digital world. And that is Wayne Kingston, our contractor who handles all of our technical support. And then we have careers, future. The future is bright. Natalia, can you, who's leading up the careers? I think that is Ms. Curtis.
So far, we asked Mike Waglam from CB, but I don't think we're waiting for him to hear back from him.
All right, thank you. And then our fourth room will be me, myself, and I, understanding your body for a more successful life. So we will have at least four classes each month where food will be served. And it will be just a time of engaging the community to talk about various issues and various topics that that concern or are related to our families. So we're very excited about this opportunity. And I want to give any of our board members or staff who are on the call any questions. And I also want to offer it. Any of you who may want to do a class, there is a small and short facilitator training that you would have to go through to participate in the Go Well Parent Camp, but take about 45 minutes to an hour in any given month. But if you're interested in presenting or facilitating a workshop, you have that opportunity over 7 to 10 parent camps listed for next year that are already calendared, and you can be a part of the process. And this is something that will be planned out this summer. And I just want to offer it to you guys to be a part of this process, because this is going to be huge.
Thank you, Leon, for offering that. I will take a look, because when I come back in the fall, maybe I can do something about financial literacy. You know, a lot of folks might be able to benefit from something like that.
Absolutely. That is definitely something that we're looking to do. And we'll have 7 to 10 workshops. There are 4 workshops each parent camp. So there will be at least anywhere from 28 to 40 opportunities for one of us to facilitate a workshop. So that concludes the executive director presentation, and open to any questions that anyone may have before we wrap up.
Thank you very much, Leland. I hope you're feeling better, my friend.
Thank you, Jim. And I wanted to say, if it's okay, we'll probably postpone the executive session until we, next week or whatever we have to call it, after we send out the notes and get some feedback from everyone where we can have a little bit more participation.
Thanks, Leland. The only thing I wanted to just touch base before we break up, as Michelle said earlier, a lot will depend about the health of the school next year on the enrollment that we have. I know that you have a number of initiatives underway to increase the enrollment above our current level. Can you just spend a couple of minutes on that?
Yeah, so right now, Jim, we are, our current numbers prior to graduation was 285 students. This year, as of April 1st, the Department of Ed usually bases your next year's revenue or the amount of money that you're going to get off of the April 1st count. And as of April 1st, we were between 255 and 260. And so we were required to submit a budget based on 255 students. And we are above that now. We actually have about 270 students, not including our graduating class. So, you know, we lost right around 10 eighth graders that we know who have signed up for other schools. So we are still above where we needed to be. We submitted a budget for 255 students. So our approach is to go about it conservative. In the past, we hired based on projections. And this year we are taking a conservative approach where we are going to go based on the number of 255. And as the numbers increase, we will add, and that's still not including, we're not counting our ESSER dollars or anything like that. We're basing it on what's in hand. And I think this is a conservative but a viable approach to make sure that we are in good standing. And that has been our approach all this year in being conservative but being wise and smart and prudent with our tax dollars.
Smart. Yeah. There's no argument. I think that's a very good way to go. But I know that you had started some additional recruitment efforts. I would just encourage you to continue those, even though we're at a good level right now, to see whether we can continue to grow that number beyond that, you know, by October 1st, obviously.
Yep, I agree. And we definitely will be doing recruitment efforts, and we will be doing a reevaluation of our staff in-house. And putting a plan together to work with the staff that we have in-house to be able to, along with our board members, to continue to recruit. But, you know, as we build up our parent camps, as we engage and as we continue to offer the great things that are on the horizon, I believe that recruitment will take care of itself because the community will know what we have to offer because we are engaged with them and they know what's happening at Great Oaks and they have confidence in Great Oaks. I think that will be the difference.
Thank you, Leland. Yep. And thank you everybody else as well. Thank you. And does anybody have a last thing for Leland before we hang up? Thank you, Leland.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Thank you. Good night.